Well, good evening. What a joy it is again to be able to gather together on this evening where we give a dedicated time to prayer before the Lord. I trust that you'll keep praying concerning our self-quarantine and the fact that it looks like, at least in Virginia, that we might be looking another 2 to 4 weeks of this at minimum. I hope it's sooner rather than later. But let's lift our hearts up and pray for those who have rule over us. Pray that the Lord's will would be done. And pray that we would really learn the lessons that the Lord would have for us as the people of God, and that those who are not the people of God might see the things that they need to see. In fact, we're going to be looking at that here in Psalm 46. So let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 46. I'm going to read the whole psalm again for our understanding. And Lord willing, I think that you might be a little shocked to behold the works of the Lord here as we go through, and how that might encourage us and strengthen us in the things of the Lord. To know, brethren, with a whole heart that He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. So let's read this psalm here together. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy places, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in her midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And of course, we noted the theme, which is repeated, not exactly in the refrain here, but the theme is in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He is the helper, the assistant to the people of God when they run into troubles with the nations, with lost people, with Gentile people. He is the place of shelter, and He is ready to be found. He is readily found for the people of God. And that's the truth that should really grip us, though the nations, as represented here with nature, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, and though the waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake in its swelling pride. You'll note verse 6, the nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered, the earth melted. And so you have all of these poetic terms that are signifying the actions, the movements, the circumstances, if we would word it that way, that are surrounding the people of God in this dark, evil world. Now, even God's people have issues with both the acknowledgement and the actual assurance, the actual belief that the Lord is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in all of our troubles. And it really hits at the core of our heart because we're just really not too sure that the Lord is really ready to help us, that He is eager to help us, that He is diligent to help us. We even doubt that the Lord can strengthen us, that He is a strong refuge in the midst of our troubles, because we listen to the news and we look at our circumstances and we evaluate things with our own imaginations versus processing them through the thoughts of God Himself. We even end up doubting that the Lord would actually help because, at least in our minds and in our understanding, as we evaluate our past, we, in many cases, have come to the conclusion that, you know, God is not that ready to help because, I mean, He took too long to help me last time, or even the time kept extending and extending, and I began to doubt that He really was going to help, so I kind of took matters into my own hands, and look, that turned out pretty good. And folks, it is all of these things that cause us to have doubts arising within our hearts to the place that we can actually agree with the counsel of wicked people when they state in Psalm 3, and it is repeated in Psalm 22 and Psalm 71, when we and our hearts agree with them that, quote, there is no deliverance for the people of God in God. And that really is a dangerous place to be. I've had those thoughts arise in my heart. You've had those thoughts arise in your heart. We have to war against those things. And on top of that, a voice that comes into our minds and perhaps is even communicated to us by our neighbors or even communicated to us by the very people of God, we also have a sin nature that kind of choruses in behind all this, that really condemns us. Our consciences say, look, here's some sin in your life. Look, I've seen it. Look, there it is. And we just really get into the place where we're just devastated within our own soul, knowing, we just know, and I use that in quotes, we just know that God is not going to help us because we are so sinful. And of course, sin should be acknowledged and repented of. But brethren, God helps us because He is merciful. We are sinners. We are unlike God, even as God's people, in so many areas of our life. Our consciences, our sin nature cries out, God cannot be a refuge for you because there's sin in your life. Your sin nature says, I've seen it and here it is and look at it. Brethren, the Lord is a refuge for His people. And when we really get to the place where that truth begins to grip our heart, it begins to massage our understanding, we really begin to walk therein because we're believing it. Verse 2, therefore we will not fear. We'll have fears arise, but those fears will be conquered by the fact that the Lord is our strong refuge, regardless of the intensity. And this is amazing that you see the mountains slipping into the heart of the sea, the waters roaring. You got all of these things that are shaking around the people of God. And we have this place of assurance. We will not fear because our refuge is in the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who is reigning over all of heaven and all of earth and bringing all things in submission under His feet. And brethren, we have Him as a refuge. We have a city for a refuge. Look down here in our Bibles in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad, what? The city of God. There is a refuge, not only in the Lord, but there is a place of refuge. It is the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, a place that will not be shaken, though the nations roar against it, and though the kingdoms of men take counsel against the Lord, counsel against his people. They are the ones who will shake. They are the ones who will fear in the presence of the judgments of the Lord. And brethren, we're really living in a day where there have been massive changes, not only in America, but all over the world. And I just want to assure you that though the boundaries of nations may be adjusted and the laws may change to come against the people of God and against his people, and though culture moves toward greater violence and greater ignorance and greater oppression of the Lord's people, I want to assure you from the Bible, from the mouth of the Lord, that the Lord of hosts is with his people. He is our stronghold and our refuge. And that refrain, which repeats our theme of verse 1, is repeated here. Look down at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now meditate about that. Think about that. Experience that. Verse 11, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now think about what the Lord has communicated to us. And brethren, this is all throughout our Bible. I just think of one other place. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. Now that's security. That's a stronghold. Even though we in our flesh is weak. Now, having just briefly reviewed all that, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9 this evening, when the scripture says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord." So the Lord is wanting us to pause. He's wanting us to come and to look and to see his works, what he is doing in light of the raging of the Gentile nations, in light of lost people who are reproaching and coming against the Lord, his Messiah, and his people. Now, brethren, we need to remind ourselves that when wicked people attack the people of God, they are attacking the Lord. When wicked people threaten the people of God, they are threatening his Christ. When they reproach or condemn us, they are coming against our Lord. And brethren, all that does is seal and confirm and strengthen the death sentence upon that people or that individual or that nation. In fact, the last stage of a nation's rottening before the Lord is when a nation comes against the genuine, true people of God. When that happens, that is sealing. Unless there's repentance, unless there's reviving, that seals the fate of that nation. You just think about nations today that are more and more aggressively coming against the people of God. You think of the movement of fornication, the proliferation of adultery, the proliferation of homosexuality. You think about the laws that are being passed and all these things that are going on all over the world. You think about Russia and its oppression, where true churches have to meet out in the woods. You think about the persecution that is going on in China that's using this COVID-19 virus as a, quote, excuse to pass laws against churches and destroy them and cause them not to be able to meet. You think about the Middle East Islamic nations. You think about, dare we say it, America. And all of those nations, all unbelieving people in the Lord Jesus Christ are under the wrath of God. They are storing up wrath, storing up anger, increasing the anger of God for the day of wrath and revelation of God. The Lord is pouring out His wrath presently, but there is coming a day, and you can read about it in the book of Revelation, there is coming a day to where the Lord Himself will visit this earth with great desolations, all for the purposes of His judgment and of His warnings for people to turn to Him before it's too late. And so let's do what the text says. Let's look at verse 8. Let's come. The word there is to walk. Let's come and behold. Let's come and see. Let's take a walk and go and behold the works of the Lord for His glory and for the security of His people. Let's see what the Lord is doing in the earth. Now, what we're going to see is that righteous people, that is, righteous people made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, righteous people have seen that they are helped in the midst of the works of the Lord. They've seen that the Lord's prepared for them a city that cannot be shaken. But when He says, come and behold the works of the Lord, yes, He wants righteous people to look at it in order to be strengthened. But He is really communicating this to the nations that are making an uproar against His name. He is telling wicked people, He is telling unrighteous people, take a walk, come apart, set yourself aside, open your eyes, behold what the Lord is doing on the face of the earth. And brethren, the fact of the matter is that God is telling them this in Psalm 46, and how few of them hear this. They don't even know it's here. This is given in Psalm 46 as a warning to wicked people. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Now, what are the works of the Lord as given in this psalm? Well, look at verse 8 again. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought what? Desolations. Now, that may come as a surprise to you, that it is the Lord. It is the Lord who does desolations in the earth. These desolations are His righteous judgments. And the Lord is calling out to unrighteous people, wicked people, take a walk. God is voicing this to them. Take a walk and behold My judgments in the Lord. And yet, how they refuse to do this and how they refuse to open their eyes to see it. This past week, for example, I was watching a documentary on the recovery of what is called the city of Alexander the Great. And Alexander the Great, there actually was looking for his tomb and trying to find the location of his decayed body. And they know from history that there was this city that was dedicated to him. In fact, they found a statue of him in the archaeological digs that were there. And here's the amazing thing about this city. This city was covered under 25 feet of dirt. 25 feet of dirt. This city was lying underneath it. They were having to cart off tons and tons and tons and tons of earth to uncover the walkway, the stoneway, the foundations of what they believe were the temples in that city, in this city of Alexander the Great. And I just said to my wife as we were watching this, I said, why can't people see? Here is this man who was so great, and where is he today? Where is his city? Where is his monuments? Under 25 feet of dirt. Believer, where are the mighty cities of Egypt? Where is the great powers that we read about in the Old Testament? Where is the Empire of Rome? Where is great Nebuchadnezzar? Where is the English Empire, Britain's Empire, where it once was said that the sun never sets upon that empire? Where is the Ottoman Empire? Where is the great Nazi Empire of Germany? Where are all these things? They are done. They are over. Can't wicked people see that? Can't America see that? We will not be forever. There is a limitation on the existence of our nation in its present form. Can we understand that? Can't we see that all the great empires and all the great economies, that at the end of the day, they're buried under 25 feet of dirt? And yet wicked people will not do what verse 8 says. Come, the Lord says, to the nations that are making an uproar. Come, the Lord says, and behold, take a look at what I am doing on the face of the earth. Don't you understand? I am the Lord. I create darkness. I create light. I bring calamity. I bring peace. Don't you understand all that? Can't you see that? Can't you see that desolations like viruses and cancers and wars and famine, can't you see that all calamity is under his government, under his governance? I mean, folks, either the Lord reigns or he doesn't. Something else is reigning. And I want to assure you that it is the Lord God. It is his Son, Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne as both Lord and Christ. And it is he who is coming again, and it is he that will do the great works of the Lord, just like it's written. He's going to bring it all to pass, and you can read the fullness of it in the book of Revelation, and all the bowls are poured out, and all the wrath of God's going to be poured out. And yet, even in the book of Revelation, it says, and men will not repent for the works of their hands. The wicked will not come, and they will not stop and gaze and learn the lessons of history. And folks, this word for desolations that we read in verse 8, come and behold the works of the Lord who hath wrought desolations in the earth, refers to an event that causes horror in the hearts of people. It's like looking at a city after a nuclear bomb has gone off. It's like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. And desolation was promised to the nation of Israel if they did not walk in the love of the Lord. Now, I'm just using this as an illustration of what desolations look like against nations and peoples who come against the people of God and against our Lord. Lamentations gives us a description of some of this. Jeremiah describes of the city of Jerusalem after it was devastated by Babylon. He described it as solitary, full of bitterness and anxiety, where enemies rule, where beauty is turned into ugliness and rubble and destruction is the order of the day. Sanctuaries being emptied, famine, lack of clean water, emotional distresses, fears, beholding God's anger, to where the Lord is now turned and arisen to be an enemy. It is to see the violence of people in their distresses. It is to look at the murder of infants and children for personal satisfaction and gain. It's darkness, no light, no hope, no strength. Men, counselors, governments, rulers, not knowing what to do. No answers. Economic desolation. No supply, no money, no credit. Inflation is raging. All the hopes of man are gone. And at the end, they are remembered no more. Folks, this is what a desolation might involve. And what we see are little tremors of desolations that are sent by the hand of the Lord as warnings to wicked people, to unrighteous nations, to evil individuals. Come and look and see and understand the works of the Lord. And even in the midst of those intense desolations, believer, I want to remind you, the Lord is with us. The Lord laughs at people who gather themselves together against the Lord and against His Christ. Why will they not come? Why will they not behold the works of the Lord? Will they never understand? Will they never cease raging and know that the Lord is God? Unfortunately, it looks like in a majority of cases, the answer to that is they will not do that. And folks, as we conclude, I want you to look at verse 9. This is the outcome of desolations. Come and behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations in the earth. Now look at verse 9. He makes wars to what? To cease, to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, he cuts the spear in two, and he burns the chariots with fire. In other words, the end of the desolation is to bring about peace. Peace to the people of God. Peace ultimately reigning over the whole earth. It's by these desolations that the Lord works to make wars to cease. He makes war to be silent. It's by these desolations that the Lord causes the instruments of war. Note verse 9, the bow, the spear, the chariots. He makes the instruments of war to be destroyed. And brethren, you know that there is coming a 1,000-year reign where they're going to turn their instruments of war into instruments of productivity. There will be war no more for 1,000 years. And then ultimately, in the new heaven and in the new earth, there will be no more war forever. In other words, these desolations, this strange work of the Lord, has an end. And that end is that the Lord will be exalted in the earth, and that the Lord will no longer be humbled under the feet of men. Now, if you're listening to this and you do not know the Lord is calling you to consider this. Reproaching the people of God is reproaching the Lord and His Christ. This only confirms the death sentence, the sentence of condemnation that is already over you. And this is true whether you're an individual or whether you're a nation. Won't you exalt the Lord in your life? Won't you cease from your striving against Him? Lay down your arms of rebellion. Repent and believe in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth to suffer, to die, to be buried, to be resurrected, and to be seen as Lord of all, God's chosen King. God has chosen His King. Therefore, kiss the Son, lest He be angry. And then lastly, folks, doesn't this encourage you to know that the Lord is a present help, a ready help in our troubles? Brethren, if He's going to do this on such a large scale, it is nothing for Him to do it on a smaller scale. There's ample evidence of this in human history. There's ample evidence of this in our Bibles. There's written evidence of it going to happen in the future in the book of Revelation. What can we say about this? I say this: the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. May the Lord give to you a confident, thankful, rejoicing heart as you bring your petitions before the Lord. Let's pray together. Our Lord, thank You for being our God, our help. Thank You for giving to us assurances that You will rise up on behalf of Your people. If we would only trust You, if we would only believe in You, if we would only allow You to be the venger out of all of our troubles and not ourselves. Oh Lord, hear the prayers of Your people and answer in accordance to Your words, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.